Good Sunday morning. This is Hashtag Everyone talking about Hashtag Everything. I'm Kate Doherty, and I got my co-host Keely Reger with me. And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, she looks gorgeous this morning.
Oh, you know how to butter me up, Kate.
Oh, I do. I do. I want something from her after the show, so I got to work it now. Anyway, we are delighted today. We have got Sean Smith with us from University of Kansas, and we are delighted to have him on the show today. Sean, we brought him to the Tri-States back, I think, starting around in 2012, and he's visited up here a few times working with our area educators and families on all things technology and education, because that's what he's a guru of. And you've heard us talk about Missouri Assistive Technology Program and the amazing conference they have. We met Sean, and I think in 2012 is also when he was one of the speakers for Missouri Assistive Technology. They truly bring in some amazing experts. And Sean, in addition to teaching and many other things, goes around and sprinkles his knowledge on technology and education at many different national and international conferences, not just in the country, but around the world. So Sean, so excited to have you.
Welcome.
Well, thank you. It's great to be here.
Oh, and you know what? I forgot, ladies and gentlemen. Actually, while we're excited to have Sean on the show today, we're more excited about
Nolan.
Absolutely. So Sean has a son by the name of Nolan. Keely's daughter, Maddie, became great friends with him in Orlando. And Nolan is probably the coolest teenager rocking an extra chromosome that I know, not against anything with any other teenager rocking an extra chromosome, but he's a lot of fun. And actually, I've had the privilege of presenting with him, and he is going to be our keynote speaker at Rhinestones and Rodeo this year. And I think he's going to be on the show later next month, I believe. Is that right? Sean?
I hope so.
All right. Good.
That'd be great. Yeah,
awesome. All right. So, Sean, give us a little bit. How did you – tell us your story.
Well, as you mentioned, so Nolan's going to be 17. He is 17, which is amazing. In terms of my story, I guess, a lot of folks often think, you're in special education, Sean. You got into special education because you have a child with a disability. And actually, I've been in special education as a teacher and then went off and got my doctorate and was actually a faculty member in Ohio and then here at the University of Kansas. And the Lord said, you do not know enough, Sean. So let's introduce you to and our second child, Nolan. And we have four, and so each one, of course, is different. But Nolan has taught us so much from a professional perspective as well as a personal perspective of what it means to have a child with a disability, and particularly what it means to have a child with Down syndrome. And the journey has just been continuous. And honestly, it is. I have learned so much. It's impacted, as you mentioned. My love is technology and what it can mean for the lives of all students, especially struggling learners. And, through Nolan's life, I've watched it. Well, actually, through all my children's, I've watched the power of innovation and technology, but particularly through Nolan in terms of it's allowed him access to things, and more than just access. It's empowered him. It's allowed for a level of independence when it's used. And it's just kind of reinforced a lot of the work that I have been doing and continue to do. Because of what I see with Nolan and others. And it's also introduced me to a whole other world of parents and advocates. And that perspective, along with a professional perspective, that has kind of completed the circle. And while there were definitely tears when Nolan was born, the Lord definitely knows what he's doing. So there you go. That's my brief story.
It's a good one.
It's a good one. And I think I love what you said about that access point, because that's what where Keely's passionate about is that community access point. And I love, please tell the story, if you don't mind, that I've heard you share about Nolan going to his grandmother's house and what technology was able to do for him. Do you remember the one I'm referring to?
I do. And it's one I continue to share for so many different reasons. My mother she's now been here almost 5 years. She has age-related dementia. And I just actually had a morning with her yesterday. She went to the dentist and the doctor's office and then spoke to one of my sisters in Virginia in the afternoon. And they said, what did you do today? She goes, oh, I've been by myself the entire day. It's very lonely. And, you know, and it's like, wait a minute, I just spent half my day with her. But she came out and she moved out here because of her age-related dementia. And she's only about a minute away. And Nolan and her, unbeknownst to us, just started to team up. And now dinner at Nani's house is a constant. And he really likes to spend time with Nani. And he sees this as a role of his, which has been just awesome. And several years ago, he wanted to start walking over to Nani's house, this level of independence and all that. And we live in a long cul-de-sac. And if you at the top of the cul-de-sac, if you take a right, we're at the edge of town. And you go by a small farm. And then you'll actually hit two other cul-de-sacs. And within 15, 20 minutes, so it's a very small beginning of a farm, but 15, 20 minutes, you're at her house. Anyways, so we practiced it. And I created a number of different visuals for it. And at the top of our cul-de-sac is his elementary school and his middle school. So he was used to walking up and down that street. But that direction aspect and that independence, we really worked on a number of different things and really practiced it, very explicit, offered some direct instruction, offered visuals, connected to a story, did all those things. And the day came, it was a spring day, and I got waylaid with another child, and Nolan started his journey and never got there. And so we were quite concerned. Didn't realize he had never gotten there until followed up with my mother. And then, you know, a lot of different things going on. But the skinny of it is he went up to the top of the cul-de-sac. Instead of taking a right, he took a left. And actually, not too far away from there is a 65-mile-an-hour highway and then playing fields. And he actually had crossed that at a light. But that's where I found him. So I was quite concerned when I found him about you just went across a very busy street. But I was also very frustrated as a parent and also a professional about what are we going to do? We tried all these different things. We practiced with them. You know, this, it was one of those, my child has a true disability moment. And that's tough. And so as I was processing it, of course, thought of this device that was in my pocket. He didn't have his yet. And that is this device, that's a mobile device that actually has a map function on it. And sure enough, I tried that with him almost immediately. Walked him through with it, practiced it with him, et cetera, et cetera. And then I think within a couple weeks, we tried it again. Now, this time, I actually followed him. The first time, I hadn't followed him. And I actually, Nolan being Mr. Empowered, I actually had to sneak in following him. I had to hide behind houses and a few garages. And then there was this straightaway where people, if they were watching this, they would have thought, who is this lurker? Because I was literally in the bushes because Nolan kept looking behind him. But anyways, he got to my mom's house, and of course, that mobile device, that phone, turned into a phone, and he called me, and I was right behind him at the time. But without that device and without that technology that allowed for the map to talk to him, the map to give him a visual, the map to prompt him when he had to actually had to turn, I don't know what we would have done. And it was one of those really reinforcers to me that the technology is neat, the technology is cool, but the technology is critical. And we probably would have gotten to the threshold of teaching Nolan to do this without the technology, but the amount of time, so the efficiency and the effectiveness, oh my gosh, what we would have had to do with him and what we couldn't have done with him on other arenas because we would have been focusing on that task. That's the part that's just is such a big reinforcer to me. And it's one of the reasons I tell this story often because I want to reinforce it with teachers that they love technology. Sure, it's a great idea, but they're not, you know, tied to it the way they should be, especially for the Nolans of the world, because it really makes a difference. And I live it every single day. You know, last weekend, we were looking at something Nolan had submitted, had completed, and we got back, and it was handwritten. And it was one of those, why did you have him handwrite it? He has his own computer, but it's him. So we're still living with it. We're still struggling with it. But there you go. There's the story.
I love that story. And you know what I loved you saying was you made technology functional for Nolan. And I used to work for a company out of Overland Park, Kansas, and we worked with individuals with traumatic brain injury. So short-term memory was an issue for them. And over the years, as I worked there and technology progressing as it has made it so much more, I guess, easy in a way for them to be independent. That phone now can alert them to remind them to get them places, like you said, with the map function. And I just think that I'm not a techie, and Kate will tell you that. I do the best I can, and I'm really trying to learn how to utilize it for myself and other individuals. However, I just see such a huge need for it for anyone who wants to live more independently in the community, because it is possible. And I think that's what parents and educators and all of us need to realize, is it is possible now.
Yeah. And actually, I can't believe it, you guys. Possibilities is what we're going to come back with. And we've come to the close of our first segment, and we will be right back. This is Hashtag Everyone talking about Hashtag Everything. Amen, you guys.
Don't you think it's time for a financial advisor who takes time to explain things? Brad Kurz, your local Edward Jones financial advisor, does. Investing can seem complicated. That's why he takes time to listen, understands your needs, and explains without jargon. Experience the Edward Jones difference. Contact Brad today, 573-221-1302. That's 221-1302. Making time to take time. That's how Edward Jones makes sense of investing. Edward Jones, member SIPC.
Get your tickets today up at downcountry.com for Down Country's Rhinestones and Rodeo Art Auction and Dance, January 13th, 2018 at the Ambiance in Quincy, Illinois. Show you love. Doors open at 5:30. Marilyn Tolbert, president of the NDSC, Nolan Smith, teen extraordinaire and self-advocate speaker, with Sean Smith, PhD, a.k.a. DAD, a live auction, silent auction, Nace Brothers Band, and more. Get your tickets today up at downcountry.com.
Branching Out LLC, a premier lawn and landscaping service that can meet all your residential and commercial needs. Regardless of the season, Branching Out offers a service for maintenance-free outside living. Branching Out takes the time to listen to your needs and ensure it's done correctly the first time. If you're not satisfied, Branching Out is not satisfied. To contact Branching Out, call 573-501-0760 or visit them at www.branchingoutllc.com.
Welcome back. This is Hashtag Everyone talking about Hashtag Everything. I'm Kate Doherty with Keely Rager, and we have a special guest today. His name's Sean Smith, and his speciality, other than being a DAD of the teen extraordinaire Nolan Smith, is technology and education and community. And actually, when we went to break, one of the things we were just talking about is that essentially one of the differences for quote-unquote typical kiddos is, you know, technology's fun, it's engaging, it's definitely a very important piece for employment possibilities. But for our kiddos who learn differently, and it's not optional, it is life access.
It's for essential.
It is life access for engaging in the community and for employable job skills and all the rest of it. And when we went to break, Sean, you kind of brought up that piece about handwriting with Nolan, that he'd come home and he'd had a piece where he'd been handwriting. You're like, wait a second, he had his own computer, you know, have him type it, because due to the low muscle tone in his fingers, his handwriting isn't, he can work much more efficiently if you give him a computer. Is that what you're trying to get at there?
Correct. Yes. Right. His handwriting, being able, it's illegible. And actually, also, the activity of actually conveying what he knows in writing turns into a handwriting task when he's actually writing. And let me clarify that. So instead of the fluency and instead of his ability to concentrate on what he's trying to share, he's concentrating on the handwriting. So that, therefore, somewhat is demonstrating when he actually writes in with his pencil or pen is limited because his concentration on the actual task of the fine motor. So lots of different things happening there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's that his ability to show what he knows. So I have a question, just kind of because everybody always wants to know apps or programs or this, that, and the other. When it comes to community access point for adults, what are your favorites right now?
Oh, so clarify what you mean by community access point.
I mean, like, what are some of the most enabling applications for adults living in the community? Obviously, the GPS function within a cell phone. Obviously, as Keely was talking, you know, you have the reminder applications that are actually built mm-hmm. into a standard device. Normally you have all kinds of fun tools in your toolbox. What are some of your latest tools?
Well, I'm not sure. So several. I'm not sure about the latest. But, there's one that actually I don't have. Okay, so the most recent that I've heard about that I've not been able to download yet is an app that will work with any bus system. That mm-hmm. you'll just put in where you are and where you need to get to. And it's actually supposedly goes across a variety of communities. So then it will actually then provide back to you the route you need to take, including the buses you need to take, and then provide audio prompts to those buses. So therefore, you go to your stopping point. It will know, okay, I'm now at the corner of Main and 2nd at a bus stop. So it will tell me at that point, because they know where I'm trying to get to, what bus to take. And suppose it works across different bus systems. So I will follow up with you and letting you know what that app is called. But I was just shared that, and I think that's a really cool app if it actually works the way I'm describing it.
That's fantastic, because I actually worked with a gentleman who got lost on the bus system in Kansas City. So that would be huge for individuals taking the guesswork out.
Well,
oh, sure, sure.
You know, and
well
actually, Keely,
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, Quincy has a bus system.
Yep, and I actually know a young gal who's using the bus system to get from John Wood Community College to home. So, you know, really trying to step out into that independence and provide transportation to herself without having to depend on her parents is a huge step.
Yeah. Well, and I think these apps are going to be necessary because, and I don't know how I've gotten over here, but I'm going to say it, and that is, I think with climate change going on, Sean, climate change and disabilities, but I think these efforts with trying to make things with transportation more economical when it comes to fuel, mm-hmm. I know there's been a lot of conversation here in the Kansas City area in the last election cycle. There's been another initiatives passed that were generated towards public transportation for disabilities, but for the goodness of the environment. And if that continues to happen, I think that's going to benefit, as we know, our folks because of their lack of independence.
Absolutely.
And, but anyways, another app would be, you know, I love the visual scheduler. That's a great app for scheduling elements. As you indicated, Kate, the phone offers a lot of reminders and prompts, but so often, or any type of device we're using, but so often those mobile devices require some cognitive ability to program and to work through those elements. And so the apps that take that element out of it that are more visual, so the visual schedule allows me to, you know, put in some times, even though I may not know my time as well, that then would offer that visual prompt once I've put that information in. We're working with some students here at the university, actually, with intellectual disabilities, where they know class starts at 11 o'clock, but they need to be prompted that they need to leave their dorm at 20 to 11 to get to class on time. And so we're using a couple of different visual schedule apps to allow them to get that prompt and then to remind them what they need to do for homework and remind them to what they need to do for the given day. And a lot of those visual schedule apps can be structured that way so that when Tuesday comes around, you get that prompt at 10:40, you get that reminder at 5 o'clock, whatever else needs to be placed because it's a Tuesday is there. So those are a couple. Augmentative reality is another element. So Aurasma has been out there for a little while.
What was that?
Aurasma, A-U-R-A-S-M-A, A-U-R-A-S-M-A. It's an app, and I may be mispronouncing it, but it's an augmentative reality app which allows us to provide markers in our community. And we're working with a number of individuals in this respect right now. So, for example, we're working with some youngsters to navigate their environment, but I could see it definitely could navigate as an adult as well. And some of the technology goes this way, but I'll just give you the example. I'm moving through, let's go more an adult. I'm moving through a community where I'm supposed to navigate from point A to point B, let's say in a building, or I'm trying to do these five tasks, and I need to get prompts along the way. The augmented reality aspect allows you to provide markers in your community. So, for example, or in your immediate environment. So, for example, let's say I'm trying to get from one floor to another in the building I'm working in, and I'm walking along the hallway. Well, I can be taught that I can take my phone, and it could be any visual in the hallway. It could be a poster that's there. It could be the clock or whatever. As they take their phone, that they would have to be taught to as you're navigating through your environment. Now, remember, you can take your device and just take the camera and put it up next to the poster or whatever there is on the wall. And what would automatically be prompted is a little video, a little audio prompt, a little image that would come up as augmented reality. It would pop up as if it popped out of the poster or popped out of the clock as a reminder to the individual. There's some initial research that's been done in this, like, for example, cooking instructions, where an individual would come up to a can in their closet, in their cabinet for tomato soup, And they would take their phone and just put it on the can of tomato soup. And next thing you know, a little video would pop up about, well, this is what you're supposed to do with the can. Take it over to the can opener. Open it up. Put it in the pot. Things of that nature. But it's not a video. It's more kind of, it's like Pokemon. It pops out of that environment, and it's much more visual, much more realistic. Well, so I think augmented reality in our environment, I'm not doing a good job describing it.
No,
I really
actually,
do believe
I think
that's going to be positive.
I think you're doing a wonderful job, because Keeley's totally passionate about transitions and transition planning. And all I was thinking is, well, that's an amazing tool for adults within the community now. What an amazing tool for schools to utilize to help prepare, because you could work with teens, you know, if you start young.
Well, you got to learn to use the app before you jump out into living by yourself in the community. So,
sure.
You know, the sooner you start using these things and become very comfortable with them, then you can apply that, you know, information to any environment or atmosphere. And currently I'm working with individuals on some employment skills, and I'm thinking, wow, this would be awesome for these guys to go out and have jobs and have this app to be able to navigate independently within their place of employment and not have to have someone with them all the time. The possibilities are endless.
Well, what I like about it is that for the last 20 years, there's been some good work done in video modeling. And the idea that we can teach an individual with an intellectual disability, particularly through video, to go and shop at a Publix. John Langone did this work back in Atlanta 20 years ago. And they created a variety of video models, and they found the students could learn to shop independently very well, even without actually going on site and practicing the skill.
Mm-hmm.
And so others have done this across, and we do video modeling for social narratives and across autism, intellectual disabilities, et cetera. What the augmented reality allows to combine with the video modeling is that instead of being prompted to go and watch the video, I'm now in the environment, and I just take my phone and I'm about to make coffee, and my phone, simply I just put it in front of the coffee maker, and then that video model pops up. So I don't have to be prompted. It's I don't know what to do. Well, I just take my phone. I just have to be taught to flash my phone across the environment I'm working in, and the markers that we create. The markers would be that we would say when the phone flashes over the coffee machine, that's a marker, and then the video about making coffee would pop up. Yeah. And so no prompts. The student would just need to be taught how, or the individual would need to be taught how to use the phone with their environment.
Yeah, and all of this actually is just, it's freedom for individuals. So I can't believe it again. We're going to be right back. This is hashtag everyone talking about hashtag everything. This is just such awesome stuff. God bless. We'll be right back.
Branching Out LLC, a premier lawn and landscaping service that can meet all your residential and commercial needs. Regardless of the season, Branching Out offers a service for maintenance-free outside living. Branching Out takes the time to listen to your needs and ensure it's done correctly the first time. If you're not satisfied, Branching Out is not satisfied. To contact Branching Out, call 573-501-0760 or visit them at www.branchingoutllc.com.
Get your tickets today up at downcountry.com for Down Country's Rhinestones and Rodeo Art Auction and Dance, January 13th, 2018 at the Ambiance in Quincy, Illinois. Show you love. Doors open at 5:30. Marilyn Tolbert, president of the NDSC, Nolan Smith, teen extraordinaire and self-advocate speaker, with Sean Smith, PhD, a.k.a. DAD, a live auction, silent auction, Nace Brothers Band, and more. Get your tickets today up at downcountry.com.
Don't you think it's time for a financial advisor who takes time to explain things? Brad Kurz, your local Edward Jones financial advisor, does. Investing can seem complicated. That's why he takes time to listen, understands your needs, and explains without jargon. Experience the Edward Jones difference. Contact Brad today, 573-221-1302. That's 221-1302. Making time to take time. That's how Edward Jones makes sense of investing. Edward Jones, member SIPC.
Welcome back. It's the last segment already of Hashtag Everyone, talking about Hashtag Everything. We're here with Sean Smith with Technology and Education and Community Living, and we're just thrilled, Sean. This has been awesome. And as we look at this, I mean, truly understanding that technology is not an option for people who live life outside the box, any words of wisdom?
Well, you know, this has been a great conversation. I think, you know, as I think of technology, first of all, I think I love cool tools. I love shiny objects. you know, that squirrel mentality in terms of squirrel. But for me, you know, the technology, for it to be truly appreciated, we need to understand that it's just not technology for technology's sake. I work with a lot of educators in the area that we're currently in the Kansas City area, where it's one-to-one. They've gone to a lot of investment where every child has a device, tablet, or a computer. And I'm seeing it being underutilized because we're not appreciating, particularly for students with disabilities, how it empowers them, how it makes our limited time with them more efficient, how it allows them to be more effective in what they're actually able to do. As a quick little example, Nolan communicates a lot, demonstrates a lot through video. And so video is very, very critical. Does he organize his thoughts as you would in writing? Yes. Does he outline his thoughts and storyboard his thoughts as he would in writing? Yes. But is he able to convey so much more deeper and do it much more efficiently and effectively through video? Yes. And so if the teacher were to say, sorry, you have to write that traditional essay, you're going to get lost with what Nolan can do. And therefore, in all honesty, we're going to limit what Nolan will be able to do in respect to the general education environment, because he'll be showing limited output. And then they'll say, you know, this isn't the best place for him. It also allows for that independence. You know, I joke, and I have joked continuously. Right now, Mr. McKinney is one of Nolan's paras. And I always joke about the fact that how come Mr. McKinney won't come home with Nolan? Because the way the paras use during the day, we need to use him at home as well. And that, to me, is a good example of bringing in the technology. If we're finding that Nolan is dependent upon Mr. McKinney at school, then we're not empowering and facilitating further independence, which technology can do. So this is a great conversation when we say, well, gosh, the child needs this para. Well, wait a minute here. Where can technology help empower the individual to make them more independent so that they're not as para-reliant, because that para's not coming home with them?
Oh, that's a good point. Love that.
And that tends to open the door to, well, this is the task we're trying to do. These are the tools we're using. Well, the tool you're using is the individual. Let's replace the, you know. And so maybe the focus, for example, right now, the focus of our para is to allow Nolan to be further using the technology for that independence. So getting to and from class on time, not stopping and talking with different individuals, although he loves to socialize, having that prompt in his pocket that's buzzing in his pocket when he's talking with someone to let him know, you need to be moving on, rather than someone verbally prompting him to say, please move on.
Well, and so Nolan's a teenager. You know, I mean, like, let's face it, it's really hard to put the moves on a cute girl if you've got a human adult standing right there next to you. I love the fact that he gets to flirt and do that. Now, you as his dad may have a different opinion, but, you know, I personally think that's pretty awesome. It's hard to do that with a human adult.
You know, and that's part of it. But another part of it is also he just likes to socialize. But instead of having a person, it's much more from an educational perspective, they may say, well, gosh, let's just have someone prompt him and move him along. Yeah, but how does that offer the independence and the empowerment that we're trying to work on for transition skills?
Exactly.
And let's connect the two, and this is where technology could come into play. Other things can as well, but this is where technology is becoming so much more of a utility. You know, I could go on and on and on. And one last example, why should I be teaching nickels, dimes, and dollars when I know my child's going to have a device that he can go and make purchases electronically, because that's how his sister does it and that's how his brother does it? Why should he learn about basic dimes and nickels when he really struggles with that, when he can use his phone for that and because everyone else is using it? So now let's take that time we would have spent on nickels, dimes, et cetera, and let's on budgeting instead and managing my money.
You are speaking our language, Sean. Thank you so much for being here today.
Yeah, I think we'll have to possibly see if we can put Sean to work when he and Nolan come to visit and have him do some presentations while he's here. Hint, hint, hint. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, I hope you've enjoyed Sean Smith. We hope to have Nolan on soon. And January 13th, they will both be at Rhinestones and Rodeo. We had invites, and the tickets will go on sale this week. For that, it's the closing segment of Hashtag Everyone, talking about Hashtag Everything. Have a blessed Sunday. God bless. Thank you, Sean. Life goes on.